All right, this morning we're going to continue our study on the family, specifically about the family of God. And today we're talking about fathers and the need for fathers to take the lead. If I were to ask you how fathers are typically portrayed on TV and in movies, what would you say?
Negatively.
Negatively. In what ways? Buffoons. Yeah, they're buffoons, they're lost. It's almost like they're the mother's other child, right? Now, is that having an impact, do you think? Is that a big deal? You know, I'm not going to rant on society. That's not what we're here for this morning. And the reality is we can't ignore the society that we live in. And there are things that are happening, things that are changing that we need to be aware of. And you know, I can't help but think of a song that's out right now, made popular by Miley Cyrus. Some of the lyrics: I can buy myself flowers, write my name in the sand, talk to myself for hours, say things you don't understand. I can hold my own hand. Yeah, I can love me better than you can. Now, I don't know what the impetus of her writing that song was. Is it a breakup? You know, she doesn't need this particular fellow anymore. I don't know all that. And doesn't really matter. But as I was thinking about this lesson the last few weeks and hearing that song, it also seems to reinforce some of the sentiment that I see out in society. And that is, do you need a man at all? Do you need a husband at all? And when we think about that, there's, you know, with a same-sex marriage, this question I read in an article, it says, the question is, do you actually need a father in the home? Is that something that's even important? Do fathers provide anything unique to children? The fact that that question is even being asked is very significant. We know the answer to that. Absolutely, because it's in God's plan. God's plan is for there to be a husband and wife, a mother and father in a home. And there's a lot of uncertainty about fatherhood out in society, and you know, while it may not affect your home directly, it's going to affect your home in some ways. Maybe you have a neighbor. Maybe you have a neighbor that's watching you. What are they going to see? Are they going to see the stereotypical father when they look across the fence, or are they going to see something different? You know, and what's the impact? You know, what's some measurable impacts of that? Right now, in the U.S. the men between age 25 and 54, there are 7.2 million men that are not looking for work. They're out of work and they're not looking for work. They're just not working, right? Okay, well, that's a number. What is that relative to something else? In 1953, 98% of the men in that age category either had a job or was looking for a job. Now, there's a whole host of reasons, possible reasons for that occurring, but you get the idea. What I'm trying to get us to see is this is real. This is sometimes we talk about things that might happen or could happen. This is happening today. That 7.2 number, 7.2 million number is a very, very recent number. It's this year, right? And so it's very significant to us. So when we say that men need to take the lead in their homes, we often go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. It's a familiar passage. It's a valid passage. For husbands to be the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. When we talk about somebody leading a business, what do we mean by that? Does the CEO just sit and make decisions? That's all they do? What do?
Setting direction,
vision. What do we call that? Leadership, right? They lead. Now, are there bosses that do just nothing but make decisions? Yes, but it doesn't take very long for the organization to kind of fall apart when when there's nobody leading, right? So when we say a husband is to lead or a father is to lead their home, what do we mean by that? If I were to ask you personally, what would you say that entails? Give me some examples, maybe. Setting the tone, or the agenda, of what the family is about. Okay, what else? What would be another example?
Being an example to those in the family.
Being an example, right? The father is being an example, and we'll get into that a little bit more in one of our other questions. So if one of the fathers that has little children here in our congregation comes and asks you, what would you tell them? What would your advice be? What do they need to do? Get their hands. Provide for the family. Get their hands dirty. What else?
I think we think of that and think of the fact that we are to teach them the Bible and give an example for them. I never will forget the morning I took Jacob to school and we got almost there.
You didn't hear what Joel said. Occasionally he would take the boys to school, and he took Jacob, and he took the opportunity as he was traveling to talk to them about spiritual things, and they almost got to school, and Jacob said, "Dad, are you ready to lead the invitation song now?" So trying to get him to, I'm not sure what he was trying to get him to do, but okay. You know, there's a spiritual aspect, there's a physical aspect to this. I don't think you can split those two. I think they're somewhat intertwined. But maybe some practical ideas. So, fathers, do you initiate the Bible study in your home? Bible reading, Bible study, whatever it is your family chooses to do. You know, and I can understand there may be some trade-offs as to, okay, I remember when... not because we did it this way, but just a way to do it. When the boys were really young, we would trade off. One night Cindy would do it, then I would do it. As the boys got older, I led it. But, you know, who's planning out what's going to be studied, when things are going to be studied or read? And it's not that the husband is going to decide everything. I would encourage you to use your wife's talents. But who's taking that initiative? Who is leading, making sure these decisions are being made? If I were to ask your children, who leads your home, what would the answer be? You know, who takes the lead? And it may be in little things. Who fixes things in your house, right? I have a brother-in-law named Gary Fisher that, how do I say this the right way, doesn't understand mechanics or anything in that regard. I can remember when I was 18, maybe 19, going to their house in Indiana and having to put the doorknob back on because Gary didn't know how to put the doorknob on, right? And my sister wanted a shelf, and so two boards nailed up and a board set on top made a perfect shelf in the pantry, right? But it wasn't because Gary didn't care. It wasn't because Gary didn't, you know, partly because he didn't know. He didn't know what to do. But he asked me to do those things, right? So sometimes it's not that you as the leader are doing everything, but you're doing something. And you are actively seeing what needs to be done and taking care of it, whether you personally take care of it or seeing that it's being taken care of. But you are paying attention to what needs to be done. Now, I want to be clear about something in our homes and our home should not be run by democracy, right? We love democracy, our country loves democracy, and it's a whole different conversation, but our home shouldn't be that way. And something that kind of drove this point home to me, I came across last week, and I never thought I'd use Andy Griffith in a Bible class, but this one seemed to be very, very relevant. The occasion is Opie has been hanging out with some hobo, and the hobo you know, lives a different lifestyle and he does what he wants to do. And tomorrow is always a better day to work, not today, but tomorrow. And just kind of teaches some things that Andy didn't want Opie learning. Learn how to lie and just do different things. And so Andy decides to go and sit down and talk to this guy. And here's their conversation. It's very brief. Here's what the man says. He says, "Well, Sheriff, maybe I do look at things differently than other people. Is that wrong? I live by my wits. I'm not above the law, above bending the law now and then to keep clothes on my back and food in my stomach. I live a kind of life that other people would just love to live. They only had the courage. Who's to say that boy wouldn't be happier your way or mine? Why not let him decide?" So you remember how Lopi is. And here's Andy's response. "I'm afraid it don't work that way. You can't tell a youngin to decide for himself. He'll grab the first flashy thing that has shiny ribbons on it. And when he finds out there's a hook in it, it's too late. The wrong ideas come packaged with so much glitter, it's hard to convince him that other things might be better in the long run. And all a parent can do is say, wait, trust me, and try to keep the temptation away." Now, what was Andy's point? What was he trying to get him to understand? He's trying to get him to understand that I have to lead my family, right? I can't let my children make all these decisions. It sounds good, you know, you're enlightened, you're this great leader, but sometimes you have to say no. Sometimes you have to direct. Sometimes you have to be the unpopular person, right? And it's okay. And I think your children will respect you for that one day, right? Remember, we said none of this is going to be easy, right? And so that's not easy. It's not easy to do. We need to lead. We need to lead by initiating things. You know, love will do that. A leader doesn't wait for others to give him ideas. He's the instigator. Think about this for a second. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus came to seek and save the lost in Luke 19. Jesus was the initiator. You, as a leader of your family, need to be the initiator. And there's not a script. There's not a formula. There's not anything magic. It's paying attention. It's looking. It's watching. What does that require? It requires energy. It requires focus. It requires a desire, right? So we're going to get into a question why that doesn't happen in some homes and what that looks like here in just a minute. And to Joel's point, leadership by example. Love is going to cause us to lead by example. Jesus knew how critical that was, and he acknowledged that fact when he told the disciples in John 13, verse 15, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." Paul exhorted his followers, says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Can your wife and children say the same thing about you? I need to imitate him. I need to follow him, right? Being an example is especially important if you want your wife and children to have that respect that you are desiring to be a leader in your home. Do you want your wife and children to respect you because you're the head of the home, or do you want them to respect you for who you are? Those are two very, very different things. God put you in a position, and he expects certain things of us. When we become a father, there are certain responsibilities that we have. What are you going to do with those? How are you going to walk? Is that why your family is going to honor you? Not because you have this authority, but because of who you are. Maybe you have a boss, or maybe you've had a boss in the past, and that boss was a great leader. Yes, the boss had authority. Yes, the boss had say over certain things and gave you direction and that sort of thing. But maybe this boss really, you knew that boss cared about you, cared about what happened to your family. They led your group in work. Is there anything that you wouldn't do for them? Now, I don't mean anything wrong, of course, but there anything you wouldn't do for them? Why is that? If you've ever had a boss like that, why would you do that? You respect them. You value them. You appreciate them, right? My dad could ask me to do anything. And I would tear down walls to do it. Why? My dad wasn't magical. My dad wasn't a superhero. My dad wasn't any of those things. But I never had a question if my dad loved me. Never. Cindy's not in here, so I can tell it. If her mother asks her to do something, if her mother offhandedly says something, she is going to figure out a way to get it done. No how, no way, nothing is going to stop her. Why? It's not because her mother has authority. It's because her mother is so respected, valued. Her father's the same way. If they ask her anything, she's going to figure out a way to make it happen. That's what we're talking about. Now, I know that life has a way of, if you become a Christian later on in life and you didn't use the time early on to establish these things, start now. Start now. Do what you can do. Right? It's great. I want to share with those that have young ones. Start now. But if you have older ones, keep going. It can change things. It can have an impression. It can have a lasting impact. Right? No, it's not where you want to be. But you don't stay where you are. It's not going to get any better if you don't work on it. We have to work on it. We have to lead. We have to be willing to step out there a little bit. Okay. One way you can do that is example in your godliness, in your speech, in your patience, in your purity, in your faith, your pursuit of God, personal discipline. Do you have a commitment to morals? Do your kids see that? My sisters and I went down to my mom and dad's graveside on Friday. It's a Southern tradition, and it's usually around Mother's Day, but we went a week early this year. It's just a tradition we carry on, and I don't see my kids doing that, which is perfectly okay. But one thing that I get out of those visits is being reminded of my mother and father, specifically day before yesterday, of my dad and how he led the family and the impact that continues to have on me. You know, he's been gone for 32 years now, and when I walk there, I can envision the conversations, the leadership that I saw from him. It's a very powerful thing. You think, I don't have any influence over anybody, or I don't have any influence over my kids, or I don't have any influence over my spouse. Stop. You do. Take hold of it. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that opportunity from today on? You can't change the past. What are you going to do from today on? Are you going to take advantage of it? What do you think are some reasons that fathers fail to lead? Why?
It takes time.
Lots of time. What else?
Not always fun.
It's hard. That's the second one. It's hard. What else do you think? Yeah, haven't seen it in action. They didn't have an example. I didn't ask Brian, but I did ask Brad, and I did ask Austin if I could use them this morning. But I don't think Brian would mind me using it. Brian's dad left, I think, when you were two? Four? When he was 4 years old and wasn't in the picture for a number of years. Brad didn't grow up with his father. Austin grew up with his father, but his father showed him a lot of very bad things, and Austin will be the first one to tell you. He's not shy about that. Why would I tell you that? It can be done. That's my message. It can be done. You've seen these men for years now. What's the common denominator between those three guys? They didn't all come from the same place. They all, well, I'll save that one. What do you think the common denominator in those three guys are?
They love the Lord.
They love the Lord. That's it. They love the Lord. They didn't have that example. They didn't see it in action. When they came to the Lord, who do you think they were looking at? Brothers in Christ, maybe elders, maybe their in-laws, right? Seeing how things were done with that family. Obviously, examples in the Bible. We'll get into a couple of those here in a few minutes if I don't talk too long. Heavenly Father. Right? They don't have to question that one. Does he love them? Man. They have all these things in common. The specific thing in common is Jesus Christ. That's the common denominator here. Obviously, we know it's very hard work. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 Timothy 3, verse 5, in the qualification of elders, Paul's asked this question: but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Leading takes effort. Paul asked this question because he knew that that doesn't happen by accident. It takes time. It takes effort. What else? The wife may assume that role. It's not a good situation, but sometimes she grows impatient. She'll assume the role. A lot of cases I've seen, it's not that the wife wants to assume that leadership role, but she feels almost forced to out of survival. Husbands, don't put your wife in that position. You lead. Use her skills to help you, but you lead. Don't be lazy. Just because it's easier to have her do it, it might be easier for that day, but it's not going to be easier long term. Do it. Joshua, we talked about some examples in the Bible. Joshua was an excellent example of good leadership. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 is a passage that is probably what he's most known for. It says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, they were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua had already made up his mind about the direction he and his family were going. You can make that same choice. It's not easy, but God is going to help you do this. Remember, you are not in this alone. And there are people here that will help you on this journey too. Sometimes we get the idea that I don't want to ask for help. It's hard. As elders, we sometimes try to talk to people about, okay, how can we help you, right? And what is usually the response? Brian, what's usually the response? I'm okay. I don't need it. I don't need help, right? Why is that so hard for us? There's physical help, and there's also emotional help. There is help. I'm telling you, if you're struggling with something, if you don't understand it, it may be something rather simple. Call somebody here. See what they think. See what they've done, what they've lived through. I promise you, I haven't talked to those that are older. I don't have to. I promise you, if you call them and ask them, what would you do in this situation, they would be more than happy to explain what they experienced, what they had learned. It's not they're going to give you the answer. It's not that they're going to solve your problem. It may, right? But it's valuable in getting that perspective and getting that information. People that have lived through it, what would you do? Don't be afraid to ask those things, okay? What about selfishness? Is that a tough one? I want to play my video games. I don't want to deal with the kids, right? I've been working all week. I don't want to do this. I don't want to discipline the children. I don't want to talk to the children. I don't want to do these things, right? Nothing but selfishness. You should have given that up long ago in your marriage to start with. And then when you have children, I think it's even, I don't know if compounded is the right word, but even stronger case as to why you can't be selfish. Other thoughts or questions as to why fathers fail to lead?
Part of it's away from the point, but we've really been shocked by the killings in the country. I, for one, have not been shocked. I spent 30 years in the projects, and the children didn't know who their fathers were. They didn't have a father in the house. And it would not surprise me that all this going on. I told the story so many times about the boy that threw acid in mother's eyes and blinded her. What would you do to me? What would you do to you?
Yeah, I started down the rabbit hole of all these statistics of father being at home, and I thought that would just get us so far off that I couldn't get us back on track. But there, Google it, look it up. There are lots of statistics about fathers in the home and how important it is. And this is not from a biblical perspective. This is just from a world perspective of the value of having a mother and father in the home, right? So Google it, look it up. But the short answer is God has given us these roles for a reason. God had a purpose in doing it, and God's way is always better. That's the short end of that one. All right. What influence does materialism play in the challenge to leadership? That may seem like an odd question, but I've got somewhere I'm going with it. You know, we talked about you know, the media and how that comes into play with the role of fathers. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, then he said to them, and this is Jesus speaking, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for even when one has abundance, does his life consist of his possessions." What do you think? What do you think the influence of materialism has on leadership? How does that come into play? Jimmy? Yeah, so abbreviate what Jimmy said is where your heart is, there where your heart is where your treasure is, right? That where are you spending your time? If treasures, if the materialism, if those things are so important to you, where are you spending your time, right? By virtue of spending your time on that, what are you not spending time on? Leading in your home, right? Spending time with your children. You know, and with with COVID and then so many people working from home, I think this question may be a little bit different than it would have been a few years ago. Certainly when I had little ones at home, typically the father went to work away from the home. There wasn't any remote work that I know of or nothing of any material amount. And so the father was gone a lot. And, you know, when I worked in the factory, I would hear some of the guys out on the line talk about, "Oh, good, we get to work on Saturday. Oh, good, we get to work on all this overtime." Why? Well, because we get paid time and a half, and on holidays we get double time and all this kind of stuff. And the whole time in my mind, I'm thinking, but what about ball practice? And what about, you know, being home for dinner and, you know, spending time with your children and all those kind of things, right? That's, if we allow it, that's what materialism is going to do. I think it's probably true even when fathers and mothers work from home, too. You can be home and not be home. What do I mean by that? Yeah, physically, your body's there, but your mind is 1,000 miles away. You're not paying attention. You're not focused, any of that kind of thing, right? So it really is, I think, a relative question. Shannon.
That's one of the challenges that I've had to deal with remote work is you're never off the clock, right? So how do you go through something at 7 o'clock at night, you know, and just keep on working because there's no, the day doesn't end, so you've got to learn to turn that off.
Yeah, there's no boundaries, right? So now that you're working from home, you get up and go to the living room. You know, it doesn't go away, but that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, exactly. You know, you've got to learn where to draw those lines and where to put those boundaries. And it's hard, right? It is hard. Some people can do it and it's no problem. Other people can't. And it just makes it more and more challenging. And part of it is, what is your motivation? Are you doing it so that you can get that promotion, so that you can get that next job, so you can get whatever? Or are you doing it because you just feel obligated and that's just who you are? You know, that's, you want to make sure that you do a good job. You want to honor the Lord. You want to honor people around you. And so lots of reasons why that may happen. But going back to leadership, don't let materialism be the thing that drives it, right? You're never going to win that battle. Never. There was an executive I worked with at Nissan early on, and there was a, I forgot what his title was, but he dealt with organizational development. And he, being in HR, I guess he confided a lot of things, and he came in and said, you know how I would describe this particular woman? I said, how? He said, she has a hole that she's been shoving money into it her whole life, and she has no idea what she's missing. Right? She just, they had kids and her husband, she moved to Florida and great big house down in Boca Raton. And he said, and she's one of the most miserable people I've ever met. Why? Because she just keeps trying to fill this hole in her life with money. Right? That's not going to satisfy you. Okay. Number five, what role might extracurricular activities have to play in the influence of fathers that they have on their children? What kind of extracurricular activities am I talking about? Sports. That's where I go because I grew up playing sports. In my particular world, I was maybe a 5-minute walk from the schoolyard. It's a half a block from where I grew up. And my dad was a coach, and so my job was to get there after school and stake out the field that we were going to practice on, because the rule was whoever got there first got to use the field first. So since I was literally 3 minutes away, that's what I did, right? It didn't take a lot of time. And I value the things that I learned from sports, you know, teamwork and you know, pushing yourself and the value of overcoming adversity and all those things. Those are good. But, like most things, can it be overdone? Can we overdo sports? I'm just picking on sports because that's the one I can relate to. Absolutely can be overdone. Especially today, right? When I played, the coach had a bag of baseballs and he had a bag of bats and helmets. That was it. Right, catcher stuff, I guess. Have you ever been to a game recently? What do kids come in with? They got their own $200 bat. They got their own custom helmet. They've got everything, I mean, it's just been amazing to me. And that's not just sports. That's happening in everything else. So I'm not picking on baseball. It's just the one I've seen most recently. So things have changed, right? What hasn't changed? What hasn't changed is the need for us to keep things under reasonable control. When is it not under control anymore? You've got to decide what's right for your family. For us, growing up with the boys, we allowed them one sport per season, only twice a year. So usually it was soccer or baseball or football. But they couldn't do two at once. They couldn't do... We as a family, we just couldn't run that way. We just couldn't. It's too hard for us. Cindy and I just didn't have the stamina, I guess. So that's what we chose.
Right.
You may choose something different. At what point does it become a problem? When you choose it first, it keeps you from worshiping the Lord. It keeps you from being with the Lord's people, right? It keeps you from having your influence. What do you think is going to have a greater impact on your kids? Them being around the ball team, whatever sport you choose, or being around Christians? All right, Shannon, I don't know if you heard him, said they all both have equal influence, but which influence do you want? Right, and again, there's no guarantees. Christians can be a bad influence too. You gotta be careful with that, but generally speaking, who do you want your kids around? These extracurricular activities, again, like everything, have to be done in moderation, have to be done with some thoughtfulness in mind and with purpose. So we just got to be careful. And again, some of these things are judgments. Some of these things are, you know, what's the right thing to do? You know, it's not a bright line, right? You have to decide what your family can and can't do. And again, I'm encouraging you as fathers, take a longer term view, not just what they want to do this month or this summer. Look out years to come. Okay, what did Abraham do that made him a good leader in his home? Genesis chapter 18, verse 19 says, "For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." Notice that Abraham first kept the way of the Lord. Then he commanded his family to follow his lead. We can't expect as fathers for our family to follow our lead if we haven't been there ourselves. They're not going to go where we haven't been, right? And what do I mean by that? Jesus said it this way to the Pharisees. He said, they are blind leaders leading the blind. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. That's Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Jesus is using this metaphor here to tell these spiritual leaders that you're blind, that you couldn't fulfill your responsibilities as leader. Why? Because they don't know. They haven't been there. We expect our family to attend services. If we expect our family to read and to study, and again, that reading and study is not to check a box. There is purpose behind it. It's to learn. It's to grow. Right? If we want our family to do that, what do you need to do? Your kids should know that dad's going to do what's right, what he understands to be right and believes to be right, period, no matter what the circumstance. And that's going to have a tremendous impact on your kids. And these are some things that are not today. It may impact them today, but these are things that are built up over time. Think of it as you're building a wall. One way I envision it is, I know this is kind of dumb, but it's the way my brain works. But I have often prayed, Lord, put a hedge around my children, right? Put a hedge around them, protect them, take care of them from the evil one. And so, do I want God to do all the work? Well, the answer is yes, I want him to do all the work because he'll do a much better job. But I have work to do too. And so I think of some of these things as I'm placing the blocks. I'm building that hedge. I'm building that wall around them when I give them these sorts of things, right? I have, by giving them something to look back on, to reference, what would my dad have done? Well, I know my dad would never do anything wrong purposely. Not that he's perfect, not that he's, you know, Superman or anything like that, but I know where he stands. I know where he stands from the Bible standpoint. I know what he's going to do. So keep building those blocks. Ring my own bell. Let's see. What does a home look like when the father does not take the lead? What does that look like? Anybody? Chaos, confusion, right? Is there any frustration there, you think? There's a family I have in mind. They're not here. They don't worship here. Where the father's dedicated the lead to his wife and to his children. And, you know, he likes to think he's being very super understanding and super, you know, out there. And but, you know, there's a time that you let your children go. We'll study that, Lord willing, in 3 weeks or so. There's a time that you let them go. But there's the time when they're children that they're still children, right? And you have to lead. Often leads to confusion when the father is not taking the lead. Who makes the tough decisions? Because there will be some tough decisions to make. Nobody likes making those, but you may be a very unpopular person in your home. But do it when it's easy, do it when it's hard. It's your responsibility. As I said, frustration. The husband may be frustrated. The wife may be frustrated. The kids may be frustrated because things aren't going as God would have them to go. Now, there are times where the outside influences of the world and problems occur, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what you can control, about what you do have influence over, what you can do, right? Your family's going to be fighting some things from the outside that come at you from the outside. That's normal, right? That's life. We've talked about those before. But how do you, if you are tackling them all together and you're united in what you're doing, that battle is going to be much easier. If you're fighting two battles, the outside battle and an inside battle, it becomes next to impossible. Fathers, you can show leadership by service, right? Be a servant in your home. And that requires you not thinking of yourself. It's very important that we do that. So I'm going to run short on time, so I'm going to. How does Proverbs 22:6 fit into a father's leadership? Train up your child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you're going to give your child a fighting chance, you need to give him something to hang on to, right? And that's something of Jesus Christ. If your children are older now and don't know Jesus yet, now you do know him, start now, right? Let them see Jesus in your life. Let them understand the changes and the difference that he's making in you. And it can be very impactful. Determine what that impact's going to be. Set your mind on it and go do it. So I've got about 2 minutes left. There's a book called What Dads Can't Do. And this is a special book. I found it a few years ago. I've given it to copies of it to some of the young men here a couple years ago. And I hope they keep it. I hope they look through it in the years to come, because what this book says is very elementary, but it's so powerful and was so powerful to me. I have a couple of pages that are up in my office, and I still look at them from time to time. I know this is true of others, but I know firsthand how it is for fathers. You are going to be tired. You're going to be extremely tired at times. It could be coming from running here and there. It could be running your job. It could be trying to be all things to all people because you love them all and you want to help them all. And there is the mental fatigue. You know, as your kids get older, there's different challenges. When they're small, they run you ragged. When they get older, they run you ragged, right? But that running is more mental and your challenge and how do I help them and what do I do and how do I make a difference and all those kind of things. And what this book says, I know it's kind of hard to read there. Let's see if I can read it on this side. It says, there's so many things that dads can't do. It's a wonder they make it through life at all. And what this book is about is, you know, the little kids doing things with dad. Dads can't, they don't throw the ball very hard and they don't swing very well and they don't do all these things very well. Making fun of how basically a father really does care for his children. So there's so many things that dads can't do. It's a wonder they make it through life at all. But dads can't give up. No matter how tired a dad gets, how hard life gets, a dad never quits. Now on the right-hand side, it says, that most of all, whatever happens, a dad never stops loving you. You can't give up. You're going to want to. Remember when my boys were older, teenagers, and they weren't doing some things that I thought they ought to do. You want to give up. Don't. Call me. Call Brian. Call Shannon. Call somebody. Don't give up. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. Keep working. Thank you.